It's the Bike Tech Show, show number 726. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the podcast. I'm your host, Mike Smith. Thank you very much for downloading and subscribing to the show. Please visit the main website at miketechshow.com. You can email me questions and suggestions for show topics at miketechshow@gmail.com. Leave me a voicemail message on Skype. The name is all one word, Mike Tech Show. Follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/miketechshow, and also facebook.com/miketechshow. This show is brought to you by Instant House Call. Remotely support your customers unattended and on demand through firewalls. Try it free by clicking the link on my website at miketechshow.com, and you can use the promo code MikeTechShow to get your free 15-day trial. Remember, if you sign up for 3 months, you will get those 3 months at half price. Also, you have the sub-accounts, which is going to be a godsend for your customers so they can remote in to their work system. Make sure, go to instanthousecall.com. This show is also brought to you by MagnusBox. You want secure, reliable online backups for your customer system. MagnusBox only sells through partners like myself. You're a reseller, you're a consultant, you're even a single tech, you can resell MagnusBox. You can even white label it with your own logo or just use the MagnusBox logo. With all of your clients working remote, what about their home workstations? What about employee workstations where content could be created that needs to be backed up? This is what you need. It's inexpensive. You have a reliable and secure solution for all of your customers. Go to MagnusBox.com. Check it out. And if you let them know that you heard it on the Mike Tech Show, you will get your first 3 months for free. Go check out the demo. Today, I'm supposed to be in Florida, and that was canceled, as I mentioned last week. As a matter of fact, I was going to make every effort when I was down there to make the Drexel alumni game for spring training. That was supposed to be today. And then I was going to be all packed and ready and then head to the airport. I might have had to, depending on how long the game was, I would have had to leave a little early. But I had such lofty goals of being down in Florida all week. And now that I'm here, it was actually a good thing to be helpful to my son, to my clients. I've been working nonstop. Yesterday was extremely busy, but I want to provide more content since I'm trapped just like you. I'm self-quarantined here in Pennsylvania. You got to be careful. Just a quick statement before I get into today's show is just about email. I want you to take the precautions. We have to stay safe. We have not yet to see the full brunt of this COVID-19. We haven't. And you must avoid contact with people outside. You have to wear gloves. It was appalling. My son yesterday had to pick up a prescription for me. He had our gloves on. Nobody working at the CVS had gloves. That's unacceptable. They thanked him for gloves. Well, where were their gloves? Anyway, it's the carelessness of that that's going to keep this going. So everybody listening, you got to do everything possible. You got to wash your hands with warm water as many times as you can and with soap. And you got to wash them for 20 seconds. You have to have the Purell for your hand sanitizers. You have to have it. And then make sure you're wiping down surfaces with the Clorox disinfectant. You can still buy things from Amazon. I'm not kidding. I literally have toilet paper and my antibacterial wipes coming in next week that I bought from Amazon. Use Carrie and I, our Amazon link, to buy it and help us and support the show. But you could still get from Amazon. They'll drop it at your front door or wherever, and you just go pick it up when you see it's delivered. So we can still, you know, keep going here and try to stay safe. We don't want to become what Italy is going through. All right, enough of my soapbox. Let's get to tech. And real quick, Monday night, I'm not sure what time, take a look at my Facebook feed or Twitter feed, and I will inform you as soon as I can when we get a time where we will be doing a Tech Vets Monday night. I will be doing the Mike Tech Show next Thursday. I will try to keep the Saturday shows going if I can. As you're locked down, I'm locked down. The tech is still going on. I'm still supporting people and working. I hope you are. And stay safe. Stay healthy. First email is from Kate. I don't know what player she has, but my feed is showing up twice in her podcast player, but none of the other podcasts that she subscribes to. And I was trying to ask her where the feeds were. We've been going back and forth. I want to know if any of you, are you getting duplicates of my show in your feed? I was just curious because I haven't heard that from anybody else. Now, what Kate's going to do is I gave her the proper XML file that you should all be subscribed to. And that's mikenation.net/miketechshow.xml. And I'll put that in the show notes. That's the correct feed. Now, there's several feeds out there with my podcast. I have a website that I don't know what to do with it, but I also post the show there, and it's mhs.me. When the .me's came out and I was able to nail a three-letter domain on a .me, I just don't know what to do with it yet. And I don't want to give it up. So it's all of my shows. I was, my intention, and maybe if I get some time, was to have any appearance that I'm on any other show or any Tech Vets or anything that I'm part of, I was going to put in that feed. So it was a master feed of all Mike Smith's shows for whatever I do. But I haven't been doing much for the last few years in terms of doing other shows. I haven't been a guest. I haven't. But if I'm trapped here and there's time, and I have time now on weekends, you might see me popping up and I'll let you know if I'm going to be a guest or, you know, if you're another podcaster and you're listening, now's the time to reinvite me. And there's a good chance I'll accept where I haven't in the past. So trying to get everything out there and try to do my part in entertaining, you know, and informing. So try to do both here. So Kate is going to wipe out everything and resubscribe using the RSS feed that I sent her, and she's going to let me know. Email me, miketechshow@gmail.com, if you have a duplicate feed. This is from John. Mike, using Windows 10 Pro, what kind of delay do you recommend for delaying feature updates and security updates? Also, we have a Cisco switch unmanaged that is about 10 years old. Should I go ahead and replace it? I love the show, and I always use your Amazon link. Oh, John, I really appreciate that. So now, here's what I recommend. On my systems, I get the updates all the time. I don't want to mess. But in Windows 10 Pro, go to Settings, go to Windows Update, and if you take a look, there's an advanced option. Now, what we will do is choose a feature update way out. I don't want to inflict new features. So a quality update, we will do the 30 days. A feature update, you can go a lot longer. We go 90 days. So we're very, very conservative. We also manage some engineering systems where we keep it at 30 days and we pause updates. There's a couple clients that don't even want to remotely have anything. Now, if there is a zero-day patch that has to be done, for this one company, we will remote in and make sure the updates are done and that patch is applied, because that's just not good security to have that always paused. Now, one thing we paused, the minute we get a new computer, and as a matter of fact, I'm waiting for one to be delivered today that we're going to have to install next week with my son will go out, because it's now a triple monitor that the owner of a company wants to duplicate his work setup at home, and we're going to help him make that connection and set up the access to the VPN, set up to the cloud resources, get his office set up in OneDrive. What we do, the minute we see that it's activated, we pause updates. Because the first thing a Windows system is going to do when it gets online is it's going to go try to get the updates. I want to pause them. I don't want the updates right away. I want us to install everything, and then we unpause it and let the updates happen. But I think a good rule of thumb is quality update 30 days, 90 days for a feature update. And that's what, according to 1909, Windows 10, that's what we'll do. This is from Ed. And I emailed him the link for this. He was looking for the PDFs on resume writing and interviewing. I will make sure I have a link to all of those great files preparing for the job interview, the sites that you should be looking at for job hunting, and then resume writing, an example resume and tips. There's three great PDFs and a podcast along with it that I did a long time ago, and it's still relevant, and I will make sure. Now, it's very difficult during times like this looking for a job, but you know what? If you were already in the market, definitely take a look. This is the time where you can look at these PDFs, you can listen to podcasts, and make use of them. I think I have a lot of useful content that you might want to try, and this is one for Ed. Asking for that. Thank you. I didn't realize how I think some of these are going to be a little tougher to answer. Okay. This is from Doug. And by the way, Doug, thank you for the recurring donation. And I really appreciate that. And I never take the time too much to thank everybody who has me on a PayPal monthly donation. And trust me, from the bottom of my heart, I really appreciate that. And Doug, thank you. I really appreciate it. I think typing this out will help me wrap my head around my situation, and I am asking for your input. I have a client with two Windows 2008 R2 servers, which have reached end of life, and the OS, but the machines are still good. We actually have four of them because we bought two spares many years ago. These rack-mounted servers easily meet the specifications for Windows Server 2019. We don't actually need Server OS because we have NoSQL, Exchange, Active Directory, DHCP, DNS. Wow, what a waste of hardware then. Printer sharing. We just don't need a server. Anything else that requires a server OS. The second server used to be for a terminal server to support a remote office, but the remote office is closed. Now that server has a minor use that could be performed by a workstation. The only function of the primary server is just file sharing, and is a RAID 5 for the data volume and RAID 1 for the boot volume. All four servers are rack-mounted with a rack-mount UPS. That's awesome. Windows Server Essentials 2019, which I hate Essentials, has a client limit of 25, and this office has 30 computers. Windows Server 2019 standard end of life is 1924. We would only get less than 4 years with it. We do a small amount of restricting access to certain files and folders. Local backup takes most the night via external drives on USB 2. I recently signed up for Magnusbox, a plan, and to use the local and cloud backup. Man, thank you. I am reluctant to upgrade to Windows Server Standard 2019 and buy the cows. I agree with you. When we only get 4 years on the use of our little of the OS features, I am wondering about using a Synology NAS rack mount. Okay. I do not have any experience with Synology, but it seems pretty simple. It is. If you're used to managing a server, a regular server, the Synology, very simple. Does that have sufficient capability to support 30 users with Word, Excel, and Law Office software? When I started the email, I thought I knew I was going to do, but now I don't. Okay, a few suggestions. They already own all of that power. Now, when you said supporting Word, Excel, First, a question. Are you trying to deliver the apps at the same time? I don't think so, because in the message you said it's just file sharing. I'm going to think out of the box here, and a lot of people are going to want to whack me for recommending this. Can you get Windows 10 Pro installed on any of this hardware? I don't know. I don't know if you got the drivers and if they're available or if you could do it. Since you have four of them, I would take one as a test and see if you can get Windows 10 running on it, and then just set up the permissions and do simple file sharing from Windows 10, since you don't need to do everything. Now, you mentioned since it's just sharing files, you're going to lose some of the server capability, but just make it a peer server. And if that works, if you can get Windows 10 on it, wow. I would do one box and maybe set up the second box as a sort of a backup server that maybe at night you use Syncro or something so this way if one of the servers dies or there's a problem, you could just rename the other one that same name with the shares, and you could just like stop sharing on the backup one, but it would be very easy to have it, you know, to fail over to that other box. I hate wasting all that hardware unless you can get someone to buy it rather than go down the Synology. The Synology would absolutely do what you're looking to do. But I am just trying to be a little more frugal, save some money, try to get Windows 10 Pro, get it installed, see what you can do. And then you could just use the Magnusbox license, you know, for those. And by the way, it's real easy to change a server over. You could just revoke the privileges on Magnusbox and then for the device and then set up a new one and you won't be double charged. And they'll keep that for a while. So you still have the old backup there, and which is very nice, very convenient. I've already had to do that with a couple systems. Doug, let me know, reach out. I want to know, I'm kind of nervous now that you said about Word and Excel and everything. Is it just that the clients are using them to access those files? Piece of cake. And since the servers were running great, I would, you know, make sure the data is transferred properly somewhere where it's easy to get it transferred back, and then set up everything on Windows 10, share it out as a nice little peer server. Boom, done. I want to get back to John's, I didn't answer his question. He has a Cisco switch that's 10 years old. Is it gig? If it's not gig, get rid of it right now. If it is gigabit, run it till it dies. I won't retire a server just because I won't retire a piece of working hardware that's, especially it's an unmanaged, So there's no firmware. There's nothing that you have to really do or stay with it for security reasons. If the switch is working and there's no problems and you're not having any issues, and as long as it's gigabit, I say stay the course with it and don't replace it. But if it's 10-100, it shouldn't been in the network to begin with right now. Pull it, get a gig switch. This is from Vaughn. This is a follow-up to my phone discussion a few shows ago. He has an Android phone. If you are looking for a pure Android experience, but don't want to pay for the Pixel 3A, another option is to look at the Android One phones. I have been pretty impressed with the Nokia phones. They are not as popular as other phones, so finding accessories can be a challenge. But they do a good job of releasing the security patches and Verizon upgrades in a reasonable manner. It is not as fast as the Pixel line, but is acceptable for these times. Hold on. I have the Nokia 6-1 with dual SIM or SIM and micro SD card, which is great for my international travels, being able to purchase a cheap local SIM for internet and phone while in another country. What a great idea. My daughter has the 7.1, which we get on sale at Best Buy and has been happy with it on AT&T. Excellent. So I wanted to read this. And this is Vaughn. Thanks for your feedback. Hopefully this helps others. I don't know if you'll be doing much international travel now, but when we get back to some kind of normalcy, you will. From Jason Miller. He sent me this a few weeks ago, and now I held it to when I followed up again. This is about Android. If you want a top-of-the-line phone in Android, Pixel devices are the way to go. Right now, Target has the Pixel 4 for free. I think that meets your price needs. I like the XL as I like a larger phone. Also, instead of getting the Pixel 3A, that was mentioned, the Pixel 4A will be out soon. So all those are great options. And with Pixel, you get all the updates right away and get the real experience. Been a long time Pixel owner since the Pixel 1 has been Android ever since I gave my BlackBerry back in the day. I miss my BlackBerry. Love Android. I have an iPad to run a soundboard at our church. It just doesn't have the same look and functions that I like. Not saying it's bad, but there are choices for a reason. Exactly. I love, love, love my iPad 12.9-inch because, let me tell you, for the 12.9-inch, if you're on an airplane and you're watching any kind of content, it's great. And I noticed my son's in the chat, and we haven't seen our grandkids in a few weeks. I'm going to give the iPad to my wife later tonight so she can do some video chat with her grandkids. So nice use for the iPad. He continues, and I just want to set the record straight on viruses on Android. I have an Android from the beginning, and both my kids have had tablets for years, and they don't ever random app known to man, and they have every random app known to man with no antivirus ever. Never had a virus. The viruses for Android really only exist if you download apps from app stores other than the Google Play Store. Just like the Apple Store, if there is something found, they remove it fast. Hope this helps. Yes, that's a great tip. Only buy sanctioned apps from the Google App Store. Just like you're forced on the iPhone, only from the Apple Store. And that will help. Now, I have a lot of clients that's not good enough. So we recommend Run Malwarebytes. It's inexpensive. You can download the app and have it for peace of mind. And some clients need that just for peace of mind because they know, I want something. Okay, here you go. So you have an option. This is from Bill and also cell phone related. First, if one of you are old enough, T-Mobile 55 plus, and he says $60 for two phones, it's now $55 for two phones. You get all you can eat on the phone. That is a $60 total bill. You can add a third for $30. My wife and I, as soon as this is all, you know, we're past all this crisis, we are heading to a T-Mobile store. I got to unlock our AT&T phones. I'm there. I know I've been saying it for a long time. I'm there because I want to save a ton of money. Now for the phone. I think this is my third Moto G series phone, and the old ones still all work, but work gets me new phones. Fully unlocked and memory is expandable. It has 4 gigs of processor memory. I bought this one for $189. Use Honey or Wikibuy to set a price drop. That's a good idea. I may add those Honey and Wikibuy if you want to do that to your browser. So when you're checking out, what Honey does is it tries all the possible codes for a legit coupon code, and you might save some money. Reviews on the web will tell you that this is the best inexpensive phone. You can buy the stuff with your link. Hey, I like that. This is a Google phone, no crap on it, uses native Android, and since it is a Google phone, is one of the first ones to get updates. You can now get it without the Amazon app, but I do use them. Several of my friends have and love these phones. He has links to the phones, and I will make sure that I put them out there. Final email. This is from Kevin, and it's QuickBooks, NAS, and VPN. I have a bookkeeper client with many, many, many QuickBooks company files. She was using Dropbox to store these, but I have since moved her to a Synology NAS, as they were having issues when using multi-user mode and conflicted copies as the company files. Not lock properly due to how Dropbox downloads its own local copy when accessing. Let's stop right there. As I read this, I will not store QuickBooks multi-user files on the Synology. Intuit needs to get a Synology-based database manager app so you can do that. When someone has multi-user QuickBooks, it must be on a real server or a peer server because the Intuit database manager has to run. As a matter of fact, as we go on, he talks about the problem with an OpenVPN and we have the error. And I'm telling you, Kevin, it cannot be hosted on the Synology drive for multi-user. So what you have to do is have a VPN access. Hold on. You must spend the time and put the resources in getting a peer workstation that, based on the version of the QuickBooks that you can run, and you put them on that. But I got even a better reason. Go to QuickBooks Online. Problem solved. Put all the files up in the cloud. QuickBooks Online. Now, the only reason for not using QuickBooks Online would be the CPA that they use will not allow them. And I run into, and I'm seeing older CPAs won't go to online. But my younger CPAs, with my younger bookkeepers that I support, they love it. So go to the cloud. And that's the easiest, simplest solution. If they refuse and they have to have a desktop version, then you get a nice, robust Windows 10 Pro system, get a VPN working with it, and have the database manager running, and then they have their client software, the desktop version, remote. And that will solve your problems. I really think that. If I'm not understanding this totally, Kevin, reach out to me. Send me another email. But I think it's very clear. And this is why I still have peer workstations at smaller offices, because they have QuickBooks. They insist upon the desktop. They will not go to the cloud. Oh, but with what's happening now, guess what? Got cloud issue. So you gotta go to the cloud now, or you gotta have great remote access back to your network in the office. And with everybody working remote now, I'm living this. Here's another solution too. Right Networks is recommended by Intuit to host a full QuickBooks desktop in the cloud. When you remote in, it's a full desktop and you can run QuickBooks and you can have multi-user. So it costs more. It's $50 per user per month. So a three-user QuickBooks would be $150 a month. You got three solutions. Go directly to the cloud. I think that's the best and most cost-effective solution. Host your own peer system with the database manager program running and having all of them there, and then design a VPN for efficient access to it. Or third, go with a third-party desktop host of the QuickBooks desktop program. You've sent an email that's right in my wheelhouse that I am living this. And these are the solutions. Keep me posted with what you're doing. That is it for today's kind of surprise show that I wanted to do more content. Please, anything you're buying, try to buy it from Amazon and use the link that Carrie Holzman and myself share. Your price stays the same. Come click on the link. When it comes, then it takes you back to Amazon. Anything you add to your cart, a small percentage comes back and supports Carrie and I, and we greatly appreciate that. Thank you so much. Instant House Call, instanthousecall.com. Tremendous program for remote access. For remote access, Instant House Call is your best solution. You have sub accounts. You've heard me talk about all of the features. They also have launched two-factor authentication, which is also very important for security. Try them out. MagnusBox, best online backup. Both of these, you can get 3 months half price by using the code MikeTechShow. Let them know you heard it here. Fabs Auto Backup 7 Pro, can't live without it. That's for transferring all of your data files and settings. Look for a Tech Vets Monday night. I just realized something. Liz Longley posted today a digital download of Nashville Unreleased Volume 1, Transitions from Isolation Row. She has a song on it. There are 20 artists. Of course, everybody's tours have been canceled, but these are 20 struggling artists. Their tours are canceled for $20, and I'm going to have the link. You can download these 20 songs, and Liz Longley's on it, but I'm going to introduce you to someone else right now. It's Anthony DaCosta, and I want you to give a listen. This is on the CD.
Oh, the night, here it comes again. I'm not impressed, it always comes, it always goes. I'm still in love, I'm still alone and somewhere out. On the other side of town, you're in his arms. It's not for real, it's not for real. Are you for real? Like the morning star, you keep me waiting. Said when he rises, I seem to fall back down each time. And on the judgment day when they ask me what we've done. I'll say the many years I spent in love with her, she only loved me one. And girls, they come, and girls, they go. I'm not impressed. I see her dress, but I'm a mess. So I won't talk to her, I guess. And all my friends, they wonder how I fell so deep. They leave me cough, they see my walls, and then they leave. Like a sad, sad song, they leave me speechless. And I talk and talk until my face turns blue. But on the judgment day, ask me what we've done, I'll say the many years I spent in love with her, she only loved me one. You see me on the street, could you look me in the eyes? Open up your mouth, open up your mouth.
Anthony DaCosta, Judgment Day, and it's on the collection of songs supporting these 20 artists who are not touring. I think it's a great idea. I love what a lot of the artists are doing, where they're going Facebook Live or other mediums where you can see their selection of songs they'll play live. And maybe there's a donation button or something that you know, or a way to donate to them. That was great. Liz Longley did something last week, which was awesome. I was at her last live show before everything got shut down. Anthony did a great job opening up for Liz. So I wanted to, when I seen that today, I figured, oh, let me do that and let me share that with you. That's it. I'll see everybody next week. Bye bye.
You've been listening to The Mike Tech Show, a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. Please visit techpodcast.com.